Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschitade Satarane. So when Krishna saw the yajnik brahmanas who were too attached to rituals performing their sacrifice, the ones who didn't give food to the cowherd boys, he saw another sacrifice was being prepared by his father and the cowherd men, and that was a sacrifice for Indra. So he wanted to stop that sacrifice because Krishna doesn't believe in sacrifice to the demigods, and he wanted to establish that only he should be worshipped in Vrindavan and everywhere. So he's omniscient. He knew what the sacrifice was, but just to be polite, he approached his father and he said, my dear father, what is this sacrifice you're performing? What do you expect as a result from it? Those who perform karmakanda activities, they either know the result of their sacrifice or if they don't know the result. If they know the result, they're in a better position. Is this a Vedic conjunction you're doing, or is it just a popular tradition? Nanda replied that it's a tradition. We have to pacify Indra because he sends the rain. And the rain is very important for our agricultural activities. Without the rain, we couldn't live. So we're pacifying Indra. And Krishna then, with the intent to anger puffed up Indra and stop the sacrifice, he began speaking in a strange way. He used the atheistic philosophy of karma mimamsa against worship. And he said, Father, there's no need to worship a god to get what you want. We get the results of our desires by our good activities, by our work. And if you do good deeds, then you get the result. So his father countered that argument and said, that's not true. Just by doing good deeds, you don't get the result. There has to be the sanction of the Supreme. For example, a patient may be very ill, anybody may have the best doctor, but there's no guarantee he'll get better unless the will of the Supreme is there. A boy may be raised by the very best parents, but he may still turn out bad or die. It's up to God how things turn out. Krishna didn't like that line of reasoning either, in the case of the demigods. He said, Father, we are Vaishyas. We have our duty, like the Brahmanas have their duty to study the Vedas, and the Kshatriyas have their duty to protect the citizens. The Shudras have their duty to serve. Our duty is to protect cows in Vrindavan, although there are other Vaishya duties also, trade and banking, but our duty here in this village is to protect the cows. So if you want to perform a sacrifice, you should perform a sacrifice for Govardhan Hill and the cows and the Brahmins. Before this argument started, I left something out. When Krishna began to ask, what is the purpose of this sacrifice, his father didn't answer him. He thought, my boy is 7 years old, he doesn't understand the intricacies of yajna. So Krishna said to him, don't hold secrets. Those who are liberal do not keep secrets. And even if you're not liberal, you don't keep secrets from your family members. So please tell me about the yajna. So by Krishna's persistence, his father said, well, all right, we'll perform a ceremony for Govardhan Hill and the Brahmins separate First let us do this Indra Yajna, and then we'll do another one. No, no, Krishna said, there's no time for two yajnas. Just take all this paraphernalia that you've already prepared and offer it to Govardhan Hill and the Brahmins and the cows. So, astonishingly enough, the elderly people agreed to their little son, Krishna, and they just wanted to do what he wanted to do. So to please him, they agreed. He said, all right, tell us exactly what you want to do. Krishna then prescribed a menu, like he was saying in Vrindavan in 1975. Pradyumna went into the kitchen with the Sanskrit of exactly what Krishna dictated to Nanda. He said, prepare sabji, prepare rice, prepare a lot of sweets, laddus, rasarulas, sweet balls, Prabhupada rice, and Krishna book. And parade the cows, and we'll circumambulate Govardhan Hill. That's what we'll do. So then Krishna manifested a gigantic form with which to eat all these offerings, because they made massive offerings, and the gigantic form kept demanding more, more, and they frantically kept supplying him more and more. So Krishna was present in this gigantic form. He was present as Govardhan Hill, and he was present as himself, as the cowherd boy. Sometimes there's a little argument about whether Govardhan Hill is a servant of Krishna or is Krishna himself, because in the Bhagavatam, the gopis, they describe Govardhan as the best servant of Krishna, because he supplies grasses for the cows and caves for pastimes and waterfalls. He's the best servant of Krishna. But then, in contradiction to that, the Govardhan Shilas, the stones on Govardhan Hill, are worshipped as Krishna himself. So it's a little stumper. But generally we take it that Govardhan is Krishna. But there's some evidence that Govardhan is the best devotee of Krishna. There was sannyasi here like Dhanadhar Maharaj, we could put that question to him to see what he thinks. And I gave a class 1 year in Vrindavan, and I asserted that Govardhan was Krishna, and some of the sannyasis raised their hands and gave their opinions. So they had a very wonderful time. They circumambulated the hill with the cows in front and the ladies dressed beautifully riding in the bullock carts, and all the men were there and the children. And Krishna said, you should always perform this in Vrindavan today and still around the world. We just heard how big they do it in Houston, ISKCON. But in all the temples, it's called Anukut, the day of the big feast. A feast is prepared, and the feast is distributed to the people, and sometimes it's even thrown on the ground, and the people eagerly take it off the ground and eat it to show that prasadam is never contaminated. So everyone was happy except Indra. He was outraged that they had canceled his sacrifice. So he said, although these cowherd men must be punished, they're listening to this tiny little boy, Krishna, who's just an ordinary person. He's too talkative and impudent. I will show them. So Indra is actually a devotee of Krishna, but sometimes out of pride he acts like a demon. In this case he did. He defied Krishna and defied Krishna's dear residence of Vrindavan. So in fury, he called forth the Samvartaka clouds, the clouds that he uses at the time of destruction, And he told them to go over Vrindavan and flood the land and destroy the prosperity of Vrindavan. So at first they were afraid to go. But Indra said, I'll go with you riding on my elephant and we'll show these people of Vrindavan and their Krishna. So they did. And they poured down rain like pillars of stone, so torrential. And soon the level of the hills and the land became the same, and it became very dangerous, especially for the animals. And they all ran to Krishna's lotus feet and said, Dear Krishna, please save us. And Krishna said, This has been done by Indra, but I will retaliate. I will show him whose power is supreme. And with that, he lifted up the Govardhan Hill on the pinky of his left hand. It was a big mountain then. And it was big enough that everyone could fit under it. So he invited all the residents of Vrindavan to come under the shelter of this umbrella and you'll be safe. So they all did. And for a week they stayed there dry and without need for any food or water. They just were happy and peaceful looking at Krishna holding the Govardhan Hill. When Indra saw this, he became frightened at this retaliation and he desisted and he withdrew the clouds and went away. Then all the water receded, the sun came out, and things were restored to normal. At this point, the cowherdsmen gathered around Nanda Maharaj in amazement and they said, Please tell us, who is this Krishna? What we have just seen him do is just miraculous, and his whole life has been like this. When he was so young, he couldn't even see. He killed a gigantic Putana witch. When he was 3 months old, he was under the cart and he broke it by kicking it. When he was a year old, the Trinavarta demon took him up into the sky and he dragged him down to his death. And he's been killing all these monster demons in Vrindavan. Who is Krishna? Nanda said, All I can tell you is what Gargacharya told me at the time of Krishna's name-giving ceremony. He said, This child is as good as Vishnu, and whatever difficulties may come in life, he will be able to protect us. So, the words were used by Gargamuni, was Narayana Sama. He's as good as Narayan. So he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or maybe he's a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is all I know. So they were all very inspired to hear that their Krishna was Vishnu. And they said, Long may we live under the protection of wonderful Krishna. Then the next thing that happened was that Indra started to feel real bad about what he had done. And he approached Krishna in a lonely place with a straw in his teeth. And he made some prayers and apologies. He said that you're actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm just one of your servants. I've committed a great offense to you and your associates. But I am your servant, so please forgive me. I'm one of your own devotees also. And I promise I won't do anything foolish like this again. Present with Indra was a Surabhi cow. And the Surabhi cow made some prayers also and said, We worship you, we Surabhi cows. You are our Indra. You are our protector. And the Surabhi cow then performed the nabhi shake on Krishna's body, with her milk. And then Indra's elephant came, Airavata, and took up the Yamuna and did an Abhishek on Krishna's body also. In this way, Indra pacified Krishna for his offenses. So, Krishna said that the Govardhan Puja should always be performed, because otherwise there are snakes on Govardhan Hill and they will bite you and kill you, poisonous snakes. So people should not neglect the worship of Govardhan Puja. We had a small ceremony, but at least we observed it. We had our hill and our circumambulation and our halava, which Shastra defied his diet and took, because it's Govardhan fair. And we worship Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. And yes, today devotees still take the stones from Govardhan and they worship them as Krishna. So many devotees have. My disciple Ram Roy has one. Bhagavat Purana has one. Indra's got hundreds, I think. And they paint their faces every morning and put a crown on them and perform simple worship. These devotees have great faith in the Govardhan Shila. They worship Krishna directly with a flute and crown and decorate his face. And other devotees, when they go on, we don't walk on the Govardhan Hill. The local residents walk over it without much reverence. They're in a different plane of existence than we are. They just live there and they do that. But we're told not to walk on Govardhan Hill. Even Rupa Goswami didn't walk on Govardhan Hill. He wanted to see the deity and the temple on the top of the hill. So he couldn't go up it. And then on the plea of the Muslims coming to attack, they brought the deity down. And Rupa Goswami got darshan of the Krishna deity, who was worshipped on the Govardhan Hill. But he considered it too sacred to walk on. So we circumambulate around it. There's full circumambulation, partial circumambulation. And the Brijavasis and tourists and pilgrims, on this day there are thousands of them walking around Govardhan Hill. And on other times of the year, they circumambulate. Some people circumambulate every day. And what they do is they take some of the stones, like rocks, and they build little houses. You can see them there, all sprinkled around, little primitive structures made out of stones. And that expresses their wish to someday reside at Govardhan Hill. And ISKCON now has a palace, which is right at the threshold of Govardhan. And when they open the window, they get the constant darshan of the Govardhan Hill. And serious devotees gathered there and chant in the air in a nice atmosphere. And we will visit that Govardhan Palace this year, next year. So all glories to the lifter of Govardhan Hill. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Picture that we're looking at, Guru Maharaj?
Yeah.
Mahahari brought that.
Whose Sheila is that?
That's the Sheila on the altar at the Houston Temple.
Oh.
He's about this big. He's about that tall and about that wide. He was carried from Vrindavan to Houston by P.V. Govinda Maharaj.
Oh.
Shoulder. But he had a lot of trouble when he brought him.
Through the customs?
Everything on that trip was like Krishna was testing him or something. All his luggage was lost and planes were, canceled. And he had a real... time.
He put him in luggage, not on hand luggage.
He carried him the whole way.
Oh.
The whole entire time he carried him. In a little, one of those bags that you would put like a bowling ball in.
Oh.
And so the altar in Houston is, Gornitai, and then Radha Krishna, and then Giri Govardhan.
Oh. What is Radha and Krishna's name?
Radha Nila Madhava.
Oh.
They're very big.
Yeah, I know. I've seen them.
Very strong.
They were originally, they were originally thinking that those deities would be in the farm, right? In Oklahoma.
Oh. Tamal Krishna told me that there's two Radharanis. One, her hand is like Lakshmi, blessing the devotees. And the other one is like more intimate, and Madhurya Rasa, where her hand is not to the devotees, but it's to Krishna, offering him a flower or something. And so he was going to have it carved that way. But then he had a dream that he wanted to... the devotees to get the blessing of Radharani too. So he made a kind of compromise. I think her hand, it isn't just like this. Is it?
I was wondering how you... you never told me personally what actually had happened. I wish I could hear it from how he told you, but I just heard from other devotees. But, the way I heard it was that Radharani came to him in a dream. But it was already almost too late, because they had already started carving. But then he told him immediately to change. So if you're Pujari and you're dressing, Radha Krishna, and you see in Radharani's arm, there's a... maybe an impression or some type of...
I think it's a crease.
Because they had already started carving the marble
to
be done with in the dancing pose. So her arm has some type of... like a crease or depression. And anyway, her hand is tilted. It's not exactly straight. It's tilted a little bit. So I don't know if that's...
compromise, blessing the devotees and intimating with Krishna, both.